We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome to Redemption Church, everybody in Plano, Texas, everybody joining us online. I hope you like our new online look. We're really hopeful that you're worshiping along with us. You're able to see it better and experience it. Why don't you, even in the room, if you can, go ahead and pull out your phone, go like and share our live stream. Help us send it out to even more people. If you don't know, my name is Chris Fluitt, and I am so blessed. I want to give y'all a quick testimony. Is it ever out of place to give glory to God? No, so I'm going to go do that right now. My son, the Saturday before last, broke his arm. I took him out to a playground. We were having a great time at the playground. We're about to leave. I say, son, we're about to go home to see your mom. And he says, but dad, I've got a cool trick I need to show you. Please let me show you this cool trick. And I'm like, well, who could say no, Leroy? So we go over to the monkey bars. Bump, bump. Bum. We go over to the monkey bars. He swings on this monkey bar and proceeds to just go floop, and his arm gets behind him like this. And guess what arm he falls on? Yes, this very arm, completely horizontal to the ground, screaming, yelling. There's a sound that is a popping sound that no one wants to hear. And I'm telling you, it was really a bad moment. We ran to the car. We got him to the hospital. We went to the ER. And there were three doctors arguing. They took x-rays. And the three doctors were arguing about how many breaks this boy had. They were counting, well, there's one, there's a fracture, there's this. And then one came out of nowhere and said, oh, and this one popped off his growth plate or something like that. Full disclosure, I have no idea what I'm talking about. I leave it to the doctors, right? And he's like, no, this boy is going to need serious surgery to heal this arm so it will heal correctly. We've got broken bones and a growth plate popped off. And so what do we do? Church, what should we do when we're freaking out? Instead of freaking out, we should turn our freak out into prayer. Yes. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. That's what the Word of God says. So we prayed and we put it out on Facebook. We had over 100 people reaching out to us saying, we're praying right now. We're praying. I had people call me. I had people text me. That was on Saturday. We got into the orthopedic as soon as we could. And on Wednesday, he took brand new x-rays. And that orthopedic took one look at my son's arm and says, he doesn't have a single break. He's got a bruise. That's what he has. And how many know William? This is what William did. William threw off his sling and said, look, Dad! He's doing this thing. And I was freaking out. I was scared. Stop, stop! I'm praising the Lord, but that's scary right now. I'm not ready for... Whoa! The Lord did that for my son. I want to tell you that the Lord who was in that room with us, he is in this room with us, he's in the room with you, and he is willing and able to do everything that you need. That's just the kind of God we serve. One more time, let's give him a hand clap. He's a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. I want to ask you, what is love? And if you're a kid of the 90s, I'm surprised you didn't say, baby, don't hurt me. But it's still an important question, right? Yeah. What is love? Love defines our highest ideals, the life we imagine, the life that we dream about is a life fulfilled in love. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Although I think we could all agree on the importance of love, I get the feeling that our world may have different answers to the question, what is love? You kind of feel that? Maybe I'm on the right track there. Yeah, it's important, but everybody thinks it's something else. Our culture displays false concepts of love, or it distorts the true concept of love. in popular movies and stories and all throughout. Here's some of those distortions. Love is a good feeling. Love is a good feeling. How about this? Love is a good life. That's what love is. Love is a physical attraction. Love is a well-written line in a movie from someone with a low body fat percentage who is saying it in a form-fitting t-shirt in the pouring down rain. And they are saying it to another character with a low body fat in the same said rain. And then they kiss. That's what love is. Love is light. Love is easy. Love is just a fun party. That's what love is. These are the kind of concepts. Oh, it's so good to be in love. And these are the concepts of love in our world. I want to tell you, it's a big bag of nothing, a lot of it. Over the next weeks, I want to tell you about a love that is not so easygoing. I want to tell you about a love that does not diminish in times of pain, but in times of pain reveals its true depth. I want to tell you about a love that is not produced from a good life, but a love that produces a good life. I want to tell you about a love that goes beyond physical attraction, and it finds its way into the heart, the mind, the soul, and the spirit. I want to tell you about a love that doesn't always know what to say, like that clever line from all the movies. But this same love doesn't have to say a word to communicate its depth that goes beyond words and is revealed through actions. I want to tell you about a love that is not light, but manages to carry every burden. I want to tell you about a love that is not easy, but doesn't complain in difficulty, because the people we love are worth every difficulty. I want to tell you about a love that does not just arrive for the fun party and leave when it is over, but it is constantly there through difficulty, heartache, and loss. Anybody think the world needs to hear about that kind of love these days? I want to preach over the next few weeks about a fierce love. Everyone said fierce love. Get a little growling. Fierce love. I want you to understand that real love is not a gentle, fragile, non-combatant, but a bold warrior that's willing to fight, willing to throw down. The world has misunderstandings about love, and they're mainly sensual in nature. But in the Christian faith, we have our own misunderstandings. Our view of love is a little bit weak. Don't believe me? Well, listen to some of this. Maybe it'll make sense. It wouldn't feel loving to say a hard truth to that person. Of course, that person's destroying their life, and we will bury them in about a year. But you know what? It wouldn't feel loving, so let's just stay silent. It wouldn't feel loving to demand change in a world gone mad. No, that would... people would think that we weren't loving if we raised our voice. It wouldn't feel loving to fight the people who are harming others in my vicinity. They would think we weren't very loving. It wouldn't feel loving to talk to my kids about their choices in relationships. I mean, that is their life. How dare we have input on how they're living? How dare we have an input? How dare we pull them aside and say, are you sure this is the kind of person that you want to spend? Oh, don't you realize that that is a control mechanism and that's not loving? I want to tell you that real love is fierce. Real love is willing to get in your face. It's willing to fight for you. And real love beats from the heart of a warrior. Have you ever met Warrior Jesus? Do you know that Jesus is a warrior? Or do those words seem opposite? Do they not seem to work together? Warrior Jesus. I want to tell you, Rambo has nothing on Jesus Christ. Die Hard, John McClane, has nothing on Jesus Christ. And you can combine all the Arnold Schwarzenegger roles. We're talking Predator, Terminator, Jingle All the Way. Put them all together. He has nothing on Warrior Jesus. Your Jesus is a warrior. Your Jesus is a warrior. Your Jesus is willing,
yes, he is,
to throw down if he has to. He defended helpless people. Can we talk about Warrior Jesus? I want you to listen. He defended helpless people. He stares the Pharisees in the eye and said, "Let the one who is without sin cast the first stone." And then he had the audacity to just stand there and stare at them. He had the audacity to get down on the ground, and he wrote something in the ground that made every single one of those men drop their stones and run away. That's your Jesus. He's a warrior, y'all. Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth, and his message made the people so angry that they tried to kill Jesus. They grew up with this kid. He's back among them. He says something that makes them so mad they want to kill him. And they drive Jesus from the synagogue towards a cliff. And he is going with them, and they are pushing him towards the cliff. And then something happens. We don't know what it is, but something happens in your Bible. It says, he walked through the crowd and went on his way. I don't know what happened right there, but they are ready to kill this guy. They're going to push him off that cliff. But I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a look in his eye. Maybe he turned around. I don't know. I want you to get a picture of a Jesus that said, "You've pushed me this far, but you will not push me any further." And the look that he gave them caused that entire crowd to just part ways. And he walked right through them. I'm telling you that this warrior Jesus, he will give you a look that you're like, no, man. We were just kidding. We wanted to just see the look at the cliff. It's pretty out here. That's all, right? Oh, man. He's a fierce, loving warrior. That's our Jesus. He stared demons in the eyes and cast them out with the sound of his voice.
Yes?
Yes. He stared Satan himself in the eye. Y'all with me today? He stares Satan himself in the eye. And three times, Satan takes his best shot at Jesus. And each time, Jesus simply defeats him with the word of God. Satan has to get up and get out of there. And by the way, this is a Jesus who hadn't eaten or drunk in so many days. This was a weak Jesus, but there is no such thing as a weak Jesus. He's a warrior. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus won maybe the most important battle. He won the battle over self, and he surrendered to the Father's plan to save us. And it was not an easy battle, but he didn't give up. He even faced it all by himself. And in that battle, it says that he sweated. What did he sweat? He sweated big drops of blood. No, but I've never seen anybody fight like that. The best fight you ever saw in your life. They make you pay to watch it on pay-per-view. You haven't ever seen somebody fight like that. It's Warrior Jesus, y'all. And then that very night, he faced the Pharisees at an unjust courtroom. He stood before Pilate in silence. He was beaten beyond recognition. He never gave up. He never complained. He never whined. He withstood everything they had to give him. Our Jesus is a warrior. And then he went to the cross. He bore nails where? In his hands and in his feet. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They pierced him in the side, and water and blood flowed out, and everybody out there looked look at this fool. Nobody had a compliment for this warrior. They said, look how weak he is. If he really is who he says he is, he'd just call out and his angels would come and save him. But really, who was the fool? It was that crowd. Who was the fool? It was Satan himself. They thought they were winning the battle, but Jesus wins a battle that no one else has ever won. He won a victory that day that seemed impossible. My God. You see, Jesus went to the grave and he defeated the grave. And Jesus died and then he defeated death. And Jesus went to hell. He defeated hell and he stole all the keys. He has power, dominion, and authority over it all. You thought he was losing? No, he was winning. He's Jesus. And don't you forget, he bad, y'all. He is a warrior. Nobody puts up a fight like my Jesus. And if that's not enough, we haven't even gotten to the best part yet. Because in Revelation, book of Revelation, we have a picture of this warrior Jesus. And he returns to earth. His hair is white like wool. His eyes like blazing fire. His feet like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice like the sound of roaring rapids of water. Coming out of his mouth is what? Do you know what comes out of his mouth? A two-edged sword. All he has to do is speak truth. And it mows down his enemies. His face, it shines like the sun. Jesus is riding on a white horse. And with justice, he wages war. On his head are many crowns. He is dressed in a robe that is dipped in blood. The armies of heaven are following in him, and on his robe and on his thigh are written these words, King of kings and Lord of lords. Does anybody want to mess with this man right here? I don't know about you, but I want to fight on his side, not against him. I want to tell you that if this God is for me, who can be against me? If this Jesus is living in me, no wonder they said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Your Jesus is a warrior. He's not weak. He's a conqueror. And his love is fierce. I don't know what picture you have of Jesus today. I want to open it wide open. Yeah, Jesus was great with kids. Yeah, Jesus was gentle. Yes, Jesus knew how to love. But I want you to know, out of all that love and gentleness was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes. Warrior and love are not opposites. That's not an antonym. The term warrior and love are not at odds with each other. Let's hit some scripture. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It says, the Lord, your God, is with you. The mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you in singing. What an amazing description of our God. The Lord your God, he is a mighty what?
Warrior.
He's a mighty warrior. And he's willing to fight. Yet in the same verse it declares that this mighty warrior, he's loving.
Yes.
He will take great delight in who? In you.
Amen.
He will rebuke you no longer. Instead, he's going to rejoice over you in singing. I want you to picture a Jesus that sings over you.
Yes,
I want you to picture a Jesus who's so happy. He rejoices over you. Like we were rejoicing at service a few moments ago, singing about him. He's doing that for you.
Amen.
That's what it says. He's a mighty warrior who saves. That's our warrior, Jesus. Jesus fights Here's the difference. He doesn't fight out of hatred. He doesn't fight out of vengeance and malice. Jesus fights for love. He uses all his strength. And where other people use their strength to abuse, he uses his strength to love. He uses his strength to defend. He uses his strength to lift us up. He uses his strength to shut the mouth of the devourer. That's what he does. He is full of compassion and mercy, but he is also full of strength and he is full of courage. He is full of all of that. We are made in his image. We are made in his likeness. Is Jesus a warrior?
Yes.
Then I'm telling you today that you too are a warrior. It's time for you to love like a warrior. Can you say those words with me? Love like a warrior. It is time for your love to be so much more than just goosebump feelings. Your love needs to be bold. Your love needs to be brave. It needs to be fearless and it needs to be willing to fight. Jesus knew when to turn the other cheek. And everybody know that verse, right? You need to turn the other cheek. But can I remind you? Jesus also knew when to turn a table over.
Right.
Same Jesus. He didn't sin in either situation. He would turn a cheek, but he would also turn over a table. He did both of these out of love.
Yes.
You listen to me. When he stormed that temple and threw over the money changers' tables, he did it out of love. It was some tough love. It was for their own good. Jesus knew when to show grace and when to show mercy, but he also knew when to turn over a table.
Yeah.
Men and women of God, I challenge you to be warriors. I challenge you to love like a warrior. Don't be afraid. Be full of faith and go win. That's what warriors do. Let's turn our weakness into strength. You ever see a movie with warriors in it? Oh my goodness. I love those movies. They just sit around and talk about how they will fight one day and then the movie ends. They just sit around and talk about, well, you know, this would be a good strategy and this would be a good way to save the world. All right, good talk. All right. And then they roll the credits, right?
No.
Can I tell you that's how, I'm sorry. That's kind of how the church is. We sit around, we talk strategy, and we throw scriptures at each other, and we go on there, and we go, wow, that was a really good service. That was a really good week. That's good. I'll see you next week. Redemption warriors, you listen to me. It's time to not just talk about it. It's time to go do the fight. It's time to go throw down. It's time to be a warrior like Jesus was a warrior. Let's turn our weakness into strength. I want to tell you that your marriage needs a warrior. Your home, your children, they need a warrior in their life. Your community, your neighborhood, your church needs a warrior. So love like a warrior. I want to very quickly tell you that every warrior needs three things. Everybody say three things, three things. You know, you're in the church of the three things. We like three things around here. Every warrior needs three things. Here they are. Number one, someone to protect. Every warrior needs someone to protect. If a warrior is not protecting out of love, they may be doing something else. They may be abusing and destroying out of something other than love, something like hatred, something like lust. If you're going to be the warrior that God has called you to be, then you need to have someone to protect. In the story of Nehemiah, there was a city without walls. What's the name of this city? Jerusalem. The Jerusalem. No walls in that city. Completely burnt to the ground. It was just a squalor. If it had no walls, it was completely open to attack of the enemies. And there were enemies. And we read Nehemiah, the enemies were planning on killing all those defenseless people, especially Nehemiah. He was number one on their list. How dare he come into Jerusalem and start trying to build walls of defense? How dare he do that? We are going to kill Nehemiah and all the people in there. In this desperate situation, I want you to look what a warrior Nehemiah was. You know, he was a warrior back in Babylon? No. What was he? He was a cupbearer. He was the guy who held the cup and tasted it before the king to make sure it wasn't poisoned. This guy had no nunchuck skills, No computer hacking skills. None of those skills. Other Napoleon Dynamite quotes. None of that stuff. He was not a fighter. But look, he had a fighter in him. Because Nehemiah 4:14. This sounds like Braveheart words right here. He says, after I looked these things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Don't be afraid, he says. Remember the Lord. And then he says, and fight. And then he gives them a reason to fight. He gives them someone to fight for. He tells those noblemen, those people in Jerusalem, that there was someone to protect your families, your city, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Are you ready to fight? Now, I wasn't there. There was no videotape. But I bet that place just came unglued. I bet every one of them gave out a war cry like they were the greatest warriors who have ever walked the earth. I just believe it. And guess what? They defeated the enemy and they built the walls, and Jerusalem still stands today. The call that there was someone to protect turned ordinary men into warriors. A cupbearer, a bunch of farmers, a bunch of noblemen turned them into warriors. The realization that there is someone to protect can transform the most unassuming person into a warrior. Just to let someone try to break into your home and see what happens. Right? One moment you're like watching some little lovey-dovey show on Netflix, right? I don't know. I can't name one. I was thinking Touched by an Angel. That's it. You are watching reruns of Touched by an Angel. Oh, my God. I always cry on this episode. You're just... you just wait. Someone breaks into your house where your kids are, where your livelihood is. You watch, you got your phone out and said, you better get here right now before I kill somebody up in my house. You're calling the police to protect the bad guy from you because you're not just going to let somebody get in your... Am I telling the truth? Is that the truth? My goodness. I don't know about you. The ninja in my home is Sarah. She's the ninja. But you just let somebody break into my home. I am going to do my best Bruce Lee. I might like look like a crazy, unhinged fool. But I'm telling you, that bad guy breaking in my home that might hurt my children, he's going to get all of this crazy, unhinged fool that there is. You better believe it. There is something that steps up when you have someone to protect. You become a warrior. Redemption Church, there's somebody to protect around here. We have some people that we need to stand up for. The heartbeat of a warrior needs to beat in the heart of Redemption Church today. Husbands and wives, moms and dads, you have someone to protect. Protect your children. What? I'm not married. What? I don't have children. You look around. There are plenty of children in your community. Go protect them. There are plenty unwed mothers in your community. Go protect them. Go do something. There are people dying. They are thinking about suicide right now. Someone stand between them and that dark end. Protect them from that dark end. There's somebody, they're on their way to an end in alcoholism, into some kind of addiction. They need somebody to step up and say, nah, not going to happen. You're going to have to get past me on your way to the grave. Somebody needs a warrior. Somebody in this place is a warrior. Wake up. Hear the drumbeat of a warrior today. You need to protect people physically. There are people that are abused all over the world. We need to protect them. I'm telling you, somebody needs to look into the face of an abusive husband and say, you better not ever do that again. I'm telling you, somebody needs to do that. That is well within your right. Do you get me? I mean business. No, you don't. You don't ever lay a finger. You better stop talking to that wonderful person that way. I'll step in between you just like that, because there's somebody to protect physically. Somebody to protect emotionally. You know what? You can protect your spouse emotionally from all kinds of things. And you know, one way to protect your wife, your spouse emotionally, is to do less with this. If you, those credit card bills start coming in, that is an attack on somebody's emotion. They're like, oh my God, what are we doing? Somebody do something. Stand in between you and the debt. Start to work it out. Start to work on your finances. Start that hits emotions and it ruins most marriages. Get violent with this. Get a warrior attitude about your debt. Get a warrior attitude about it. Touch, protect people physically. Touch, protect people emotionally. Protect people spiritually. Lead them to Jesus. Not control, but to protect them. I'm telling you that you do need to have a hard talk with your kids. If they're dating someone that's not going the direction they need to go in life, who else is going to speak up? Somebody's got to speak up. You got to be a warrior. Come on, mom and dad. This isn't about control. It's about love. Make it about love and protect them spiritually. You know what? One great way to protect your kids spiritually? Get them to church. Come to church and bring them and let them stand beside the craziest worshiper named Dad. The craziest worshiper named Mom. You're standing against, you're standing, protecting them spiritually. Don't you know that there are real demons out there that want to get their hands on them? Then you need to build some circles around them, build some hedges with your prayer. You need to bring prayer into your home. We can argue all day about prayer in schools. Christian, do you even have prayer in your home? Come on, somebody. Three people clapping. That was real good there. That was real good. Come on, somebody. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 12 says this. Be strong. You could spend a whole sermon on those two words. You know what? Sometimes you have to be strong. It's not about changing the situation. It's about changing you. You just be strong right now. Go ahead. No, it's not. If the situation would lighten up, you know, then I would get some strength with me. No, you be strong right now. Be strong in the face of the turmoil. Be strong in the face of the defeat. Be strong in the face of everything that's happened. Be strong. Somebody say those two words. Be strong. Be strong. And let us fight bravely for who? For our people and the cities of our God. The Lord will do what is good in His sight. Somebody be strong today. You've got someone to protect. Every warrior needs three things. That was number one. Number two is you need a kingdom to advance. A warrior does more than defend. A warrior wins. A warrior advances a kingdom. If you're playing football, right? And man, it was so good. We got the ball and we had a three and out. We had three plays. We didn't turn it over and then we punted. It was so good. And we did that all day. It was so good. What a great thing. What a warrior. Bunch of warriors. No, that coach would just rip into them all. That's not a warrior. A warrior takes the ball and actually advances it. You actually get a thing called a first down. And then you get enough of those. You actually get into a end zone and you score and you do it again and you do it again until you beat your opponent into complete submission. And they don't even want any more of this. My goodness, you got a kingdom to advance. I feel like the church gets a little in punt happy, right? Well, man, I'm doing really good. I made it to church Sunday. Man, I'm really advancing the kingdom. Come on, share the gospel. Come on, you got friends that you need to share Jesus with. Come on, we got to advance a kingdom warrior. Jesus has entrusted you to advance his kingdom. And do you know what his kingdom is? He tells you, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is righteousness in the Holy Spirit. It is peace in the Holy Spirit. And it is joy in the Holy Spirit. I got news for us. If we aren't in the Holy Spirit, we aren't hardly active in the kingdom. You are a warrior in God's kingdom. So advance the kingdom. And what better way than through the power of the Holy Spirit? Didn't Jesus say you would have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want you to pay attention to that. That's the last part. He has created good works that he has prepared in advance for you to do. I want you to know that there are good works, warrior, that he has prepared for you to do long before you got saved, long before you drew your first breath, long before your mom and dad even thought about you. God was already calculating a game plan. And he is so glad you're there. He's so glad you're here at this moment, because he has created a mission for you to accomplish. You got your sword? Are you ready? He's created it. Are you ready to go? He's created this thing in advance for you to do. It advances his kingdom. God has given you strengths. He's given you abilities to use in advancing his kingdom. He's given you talents. He's given you dreams. He's given you a big heart. Some of you are good at business. Business. And you've actually discounted that. You're like, yeah, that's really not that spiritual. You hush your mouth. Go be the best business person. Just go all warrior on being a business person. You go create a business and be wildly successful. Win it, business. And do it not through worldly practices of cheating and greed, but do it through kingdom practices of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then once you have all that success, live a generous life. Live it out. And that is a warrior thing to do that will advance the kingdom. I'm going to tell you, I know some people that have way more impact than I have in the kingdom of God, and they've never preached a sermon. They've never preached a sermon, but they hear a voice speak to them that says, give. And they go give. They open up wide their pocketbook and they give to the Lord. And they're able to do this because they are warriors on Wall Street. They're warriors on Main Street in their business. And that is awesome. Be a warrior. It's time to stop discounting what you're good at. You have a heart for kids. You have an ability to connect with teenagers. Oh my goodness, you are needed in the kingdom of God. That is the one area that is under the most attack. It is our teenagers and it is our children. Advance God's kingdom. Volunteer. Spend your time. Listen. Help us teach more kids. Help us to reach more kids. Well, I don't have time to volunteer. Great. Come to church. Come a little early, stay a little late, meet all of our kids. Let them see a face that loves them. It's advancing the kingdom.
All right, amen. Yes, Jesus.
You've got a creative talent. Well, use your gift to lead others in worship. Create beauty that leads others into the kingdom. Create a beauty that doesn't spread hate, but creates unity. Create something that makes people wonder, that makes people think. Do it. We need it. Do you understand that would advance the kingdom so wonderfully? And some of you, you don't think you're a warrior. I want to tell you, you're an invisible warrior, because there is an invisible fighting technique called prayer. It actually is described in your Bible about hiding yourself in a closet. That through prayer, you are actually fighting against the powers of darkness. And from your home, nobody even knows it, but you are affecting nations. You are affecting world leaders. You are affecting the attitude of a city. You are creating strongholds against the enemy and tearing down the strongholds of the enemy. Is there a prayer warrior in the room? My God, we could use a prayer warrior around here. I would love it. You know one thing I would love? I would love if we had some prayer warriors that would come talk to me. And I would love to see prayer warriors just walk this room before we ever enter it to have service and just prayed for every seat. Prayed against the enemy that's going to be attacking the person in that seat. My gosh, we need some prayer warriors. We need some people that come to an altar and know what to do. They know how to fight in an altar against the powers of darkness. They know how to pray oppression off people. Don't look at me like I'm making stuff up. We just talked about the Jesus that stared demons in the eye. Is there that kind of warrior in here that can stare the enemy in the eye and set people free from addiction? Oh my goodness, that's you. Go ahead and be that person. You have a calling. Are you engaged in that calling? I want to warn you, if you are not engaged in your calling, you will end up fighting against your calling. You follow me? You've got this calling, and you're like, yeah, Jesus has been talking to me about that. That's really good. Yeah, I've heard a few sermons about that. Yeah, and it kind of gave me the goosey bumps. Yeah, it was good, but you know what you end up doing? You don't just sit there against it and let it sit there. No, you actively end up fighting against it. You end up stepping on it. You end up squishing it. I'm like in my garden. I'm in my garden trying to save plants. And if I'm not careful, if I'm not concentrating, if I'm not engaged on the plant, I will end up stepping right on the plant that I'm trying to save. I planted that thing. I was called to, but I will kill that thing. If you aren't engaged with your calling, you will destroy your calling. You will end up ripping apart your calling. Do you realize you've been doing that? A distracted warrior becomes a destructive warrior. If you don't engage in your marriage, you're going to end up fighting against your marriage. If you don't engage in your relationship with God, you will end up fighting against God. Oh, I've seen this so much. If you don't engage with authority in your life, you end up fighting against authority the rest of your life. And you've known those people that they fight against authority forever and ever and ever because they've never engaged in it. Guess what? If you ever want to live in authority, you have to engage with authority. Number two is you've got to advance a kingdom. Warriors, you have a kingdom to advance, but if you become distracted, if you fail to engage with your calling, you'll end up fighting against the very kingdom that you've been called into. Do not surrender your calling. It is your calling. You need to get that attitude today. That's my calling. That's who I'm called to be. In Jesus Christ. That's my good work. He's prepared it for me in advance. I am tired of the devil telling me I can't do it. I'm tired of other voices telling me I shouldn't try. I am going to go and do it. I've got a kingdom to advance. God created you to do these works in advance. So warrior, get to work. Psalm 144:1 says this, praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My goodness, God has been training you to be a warrior. look back over your life. This happens all the time. Somebody takes that step into ministry and they feel the power of God and they experience the miracles of God. And they're like, oh my gosh, why didn't I step in this soon? And then they'll think back and they'll look back and they'll go, wait, God was preparing me. He was training me. He was calling me the whole time. He was waiting on me. God has been calling you. He's been training you. He is waiting on you. You are holding us up, warrior. Come on, get in the battlefield. Come on and fight. Number one, every warrior needs someone to protect. Number two, every warrior needs a kingdom to advance. Number three, every warrior has a battle to win. Every one of us has a battle in our life. Every one of us has a struggle. Every one of us has a wound. Every one of us has a weakness. God did not call you into a playground. He called you into a battleground. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, for our struggle. I know some people that would read those first three words, for our struggle, they go, well, I don't want to read that verse. They just turn the page. For our struggle. Paul writes this authoritatively, that every person has a struggle. Can I just tell you, your pastor has a struggle. Your pastor is battling. Your pastor's not living on easy street. But it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. But against what? Rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Warrior, you get this right. We are not called to battle people. We are not called to attack people. We are not called to hurt people, ridicule people. You are not to be the judge over a person. That's not what you're called to do. You're not called to struggle with flesh and blood. But we are called to battle rulers, authorities, powers of a dark world, and spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Sometimes the person that you're having such beef with, you're having such trouble with this person that you think you have trouble with the person. No, there's a spirit there. And you're struggling with the flesh and blood. In fact, you're all up in your head going, oh, I should have said that. Well, the jerk store called and they're out of you. Yes, that's what I should have said. You're getting it all wrong. You're struggling against flesh and blood. I remember one day, my brother Linus was in the house. You already know where I'm going, don't you, Dad? My brother Linus came in from work, and he came in and he just started the world's biggest argument. We were watching some movie. We were having a good time, me and my dad. And we're like, hey, Linus, come on in. Have a good time. And he's like, no, I'm going to have an argument. Here we go. And it's like arguing over nothing. It was weird. It was like, what is going on in here? And we started struggling with him. We started arguing with him. We started telling him and he started telling us, blah, blah, blah. And suddenly it just hit my heart like, ding. Of course, I said, we need to go through 5 years of counseling. We need to go get hopped up on drugs, because obviously we need medication to sort this all out. No, here's what came out of my mouth. I said, we need to pray. 17-year-old me. Oh my gosh, that was the Lord inside me. I was struggling with my own faith at that time. But what came out of my mouth was, we need to pray. And we turned an argumentative room into a prayer room. And we started praying. We started calling on Jesus. And Linus was just standing there like, well, I was going to argue. Next thing I know, Linus is down on his hands and knees right beside me, crying out to God. What ended up in an argument, we moved past the flesh and blood. We wrestled against the spirit that was attacking him, and that spirit ran out of that place, and I gained a brother back. My dad gained a son back because we defeated the enemy. You've been wrestling, you've been struggling with flesh and blood, or are you going to be a spiritual warrior, a Jesus warrior? My goodness. We are called to this. Are we doing this? We have a battle to win. We are called to win the victory. When are we called to win the victory? Today. Everyone say victory today.
Victory today.
I want you to listen. This is for somebody tonight. Victory for David did not start when he was crowned king of Israel. Victory for David did not start when he slew Goliath. I want to tell you, it began the moment he obediently brought lunch to his brothers. It started when he was worshiping and praising God out on the backfield watching sheep and nobody was looking. I want to tell you, you think that victory starts sometime in the future? No, victory starts today. Goliath just had no idea. He was facing a little young guy who had been walking in victory, and he was just going to add another victory to his belt. Jesus did not just win the victory the day he rose from the dead. Jesus was winning the victory every day when he walked on water, when he withstood Satan, when he rebuked the winds and the waves, when he surrendered in the garden. Jesus won the victory all those times. Victory is not something later. Victory is now. Victory does not start later. It starts now. It starts today. Welcome to today. Welcome to your greatest victory. It starts today. So what is your battle? Every warrior has a battle to win. So what is your battle? Win it today. Porn. Let's get real. Your victory doesn't start when you haven't looked at it for 10 years. You hear me? Your victory doesn't start when you can say, I have been so long without looking at it. I want to tell you, it starts the day you repent. And it continues every day you resist that temptation. You hear me, church? Health. Your health, victory is not after you've lost 30 pounds, 50 pounds, 100 pounds. It's not when your cholesterol hits a certain number, your BMI, or any of those things. It's not when you get your macronutrients just right. No, there is a victory to win today when you push that fork away. When you said, no, I won't go back for my seventh helping at Mama's Pizza opening soon, I pray. But no, I'm telling you, that health is a battle. And you need to win that battle. Start today. I need you to be around for a long time, y'all. And you're not going to be around for a long time with bad health. Your kids are going to need you to be around. So get your health. Win that battle. Your debt. We talked about that. Victory doesn't start when you pay off that last credit card. It starts when you take control of your spending today. It starts when you say no to yourself today. Addiction. You have a victory to win over addiction. Why don't you go ahead and win it today? You have a temper problem? Go ahead and have that victory today. You have a depression that you're fighting? Go ahead and have the victory today. Every warrior has a battle to win. Go ahead and win today. Ephesians chapter 6. We just read verse 12. Here's verse 13. Therefore, he's given you these things, good works to do in advance. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand. stand firm. There are times where you have exhausted every resource. There are times you have shot every bow in your quiver. You have swung that sword as much as you can. You've done everything that you can. You know what a warrior does then? They just keep standing anyway. You got to stand firm. Have you been standing firm? Have you been freaking out and running away? Did you have a little bit of trouble come your way and you gave up? Did you have a little bit of pain happen and you said, well, I thought living for Jesus was going to be easy? Warrior, stand. And after you've done everything to stand, you keep standing. There's somebody under the sound of my voice, I'm sure, that's like, can I do that? Yes, you can. Anybody believe that they can stand? You're listening online. You can stand. Don't you dare give up. You're a warrior. Listen up, warrior. You have a battle to win today, and you can win the battle right now. Fierce love. God's got it for us. We need it for the world. We need it towards God. Are there any bold warriors in this place ready to get the victory? You know there's victory in this altar. Have you ever noticed, just be honest, have you ever felt the victory was actually just getting up and coming? Y'all hear me? I know somebody walked and so we're all distracted. I'm going to say it one more time. Have you ever just felt like you got the victory just by getting up out of your chair and making a step towards God? Why don't you do it right now? Come on, win the victory. Come on, come to this altar today. Come on, come to this church right now. Come right now in this altar. Don't wait. You're winning the victory with every step. The enemy is being defeated. Your depression is being left behind with every step. Is there anyone who understands they are fiercely loved by God and that He's called them to great purpose? Every warrior, you need three things. What are those three things? God reveals.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.